off with a show of hands. Who's heard the phrase "culture eats strategy for breakfast"? So pretty much half of us know that culture in organisations is really important. I heard something recently, which was a bit of a build on that, which I thought was really interesting and really topical for the discussion we're about to have, which is culture eats strategy for breakfast, eats operational excellence for lunch, and eats everything else for dinner. Right, so that's why culture is super important. So I'm really excited to have three really eminent leaders from the region to talk about culture. We're in a phase, I think Khalid said at the beginning, where we're in a phase where businesses are changing really, really fast. And the only way to meet the demands of the marketplace and our consumers is to really take a long, hard look at the culture of our organizations. So today we have Ari, who's the Vice President of Facebook Middle East and Africa. We have Sana, who's the CMO of L'Oreal Middle East. And we have Sonia, who's the CEO of VentureSouq, a GCC-based early-stage venture investing and educational platform. They've got quite different points of view on culture and quite different experiences. So really excited to have this discussion. So to get started, can each of you describe the culture of your company in 30 seconds?
I can start. So basically, when I think about the L'Oreal culture, I could think of two different levels. The first one is ethics. In L'Oreal, we believe in ethics a lot, and we live by ethics on the way we deal with each other. Ethics surround four different levels. The first one is integrity, respect, transparency, and courage. So these are the four elements which the way we deal with each other is based on. And to recognize that, for the 10th year in a row, we've been recognized as one of the most ethical companies worldwide. So that's the first level. The second level is a new initiative that we've launched in the group for the past 2 years, after all the changes that we've been happening, especially the digital transformation. And it was all about how can we work together in a different way, and it was about revamping the way we did with each other. And that's Simplicity Project. So Simplicity Project, in a very short term, basically, is about different concepts, and I will mention three of them. The first one is, it's no more about individuals, but it's all about the team. So teams are the new heroes today for us. The second point is collaboration and breaking the silos, which is a very important element. And the third one, basically, is how can we have more constructive and efficient meetings through, basically, less confrontation, but more problem-solving meetings.
Mm, interesting. And Ari, over to you. How would you describe the culture of Facebook in 30 seconds?
In my experience, the cultures of the companies reflect what they're trying to do, and my personal experience. And Facebook's mission is to give people the power to build communities and to bring the world closer together. That's what the company is trying to do. To do that, first, and there are, I think, you know, three reflections of that to the culture. First, in order to bring the world closer together, we first have to bring our employees together. And our culture optimizes towards bringing everyone together. And it's not easy. I'll go into a bit more detail of that, maybe a bit later on. The second part of the culture is trying to bring the world closer together is not possible with today's technologies. Why? Because there are 7 billion people in the planet, not all of them are connected to the internet, and thus innovation is a big part of Facebook's culture. So we're trying to push the boundaries of technology in a lot of ways. And last, as our responsibility increases, and our, you know, Facebook is bigger, and it has, you know, 2.5 billion people right now across its different platforms coming to Facebook platforms every month, our responsibility increases, and that means us becoming much more transparent. And we're trying to do that, and I guess you guys will be the judges of that, and you'll keep us honest. But that's becoming even bigger in our culture on day-to-day. So bringing the employees together, innovation and transparency are the key parts that I observe today.
And Sonia, you've worked in very traditional organizations, and now you're somewhere which is very entrepreneurial. How would you describe the culture of the organization in which you are at the moment?
You had a unique career in the sense that I'm an actuary, and I started off in finance and consulting, and now I've managed to find my way to. I've started a company with a group of four founding partners. So just a small correction, not the CEO, but we're all four partners that work together. And so during that process, I got to see the difference between cultures in, you know, a large corporation and now us being a startup in for all intents and purposes. And in a large corporation, in finance especially, it was a tough culture. We worked really, really hard. It wasn't always the most welcoming culture. It was about getting the work done and, you know, keeping clients happy, and very less about the people that were in that organization. I remember actually once having a conversation with a bunch of other kind of associates at the time, where we all were talking about how many times we've almost cried at work or almost cried at work. So you talk about being brave, or you have to be brave every day. And now we're in a place where culture is so important, and especially when we have a small group where we're working collectively with four people every day. We have to have a very similar culture. We have to love going into work every day, and we have to have a big mission in mind. And so us at VentureSouk, we're investors in early stage companies that are other, like, we're looking for the next Facebook. We're looking for, and we're investing in different companies that we think are the next Facebook. So it's very fun. It's a very fun environment where we get to see a bunch of different companies at a very early stage and get to help. And then we put money in, and, you know, you say, if you can't do, you teach. Well, we say, if you can't do, you invest. And so we get to invest into a bunch of different companies. So we're looking for, we were trying to build innovation. We're trying to build, you know, the next Facebook. We're trying to, like, you know, dream but big. So it's been a huge difference in culture for me. And I love going to work versus before, where, you know, you kind of feel like you have to do it, so you do it.
And let's just stay with you for a second, because you assess startups as part of your job. And what do you look for particularly in those organizations in terms of culture before you actually make an investment?
So whenever you do we do diligence on a company, there's a bunch of things you look at, and that's, you know, you look at the financial model, you look at the business plan, you see if it's viable, et cetera. And those are all great and very important, but the thing we actually put the most emphasis on is the team. And because if you have a good team, you can pivot your business model a million different times and you'll end up in a good place. And Airbnb is an example of that, where they, you know, started off very different and then you moved to, you know, Airbnb now. But the team was good. So we look to invest in really, 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 really good teams. And and cohesiveness amongst the teams is very, very important. And I saw a statistic the other day. I was at a Kauffman Fellow kind of session, and they said a statistic is that 65% of small businesses fail because of partner disagreements. So if you have a good, cohesive team that's working together in one mission, it changes the business entirely. So that's one of the biggest things that we put emphasis on, is a really, really, really great team that works well together. Have you guys heard of the All Blacks, the sports team?
Me.
Yeah. And so they actually have, they actually recruit, it's a sports team, so you would think they would recruit for talent. They actually recruit for personality before talent, and that's because it's very much about, they think better teammates make better people, make better teams. So they have a no-jerk policy, that everyone on that team gets along very well, and they, you know, and that's why they're one of the most successful sports franchises of all time. And so that's what we focus on, right, as the team when we're looking to invest.
Okay. And Sana, unlike Sonia, you've had quite a different experience, because you've been in quite a traditional organization, and you've driven huge cultural transformation when it comes to your media and your digital strategy. What were some of the barriers that you had to overcome in order to deliver what you have so successfully?
Yeah, I think digital transformation is a very not easy process, but when I think about the Atlantic, it is a super easy process.
We've all got perspective today, haven't we?
I was thinking it was difficult, but no, it is definitely much more easier. But yes, different challenges, but again, not as these challenges. That was, by the way, super inspiring, and thank you for the presentation. So honestly, the different challenges came on board, especially because you are in a very traditional organization. We've been doing the same things for so many years, more than 100 years, the same way. Mm. And then you have to take all the marketing teams and all the other teams to do things completely different. So the first one is resistance. You might have some people that just don't want to change. And this is the first barrier that you have. So how can you have a very clear vision and embark everyone with you towards the same vision? I think that's the first barrier. The second one is, when you want to do digital transformation, the first step is to acquire talents and acquire digital experts. And the challenge of that is that when you acquire experts, how can you make sure that you don't have silos building in the organization? Because what tends to happen, and we live that, is that you acquire them, then you have the offline marketing continue to do offline marketing, and the new digital teams are doing online marketing alone, separately from the others. So this silo, how can you make sure that you break it and you don't let it form, which is a super hard challenge. Third one is bringing in these digital experts to traditional organizations is not easy because they need to adapt to the organization. There is a fine line in terms of how can you balance not making them too much into your culture, but taking from them and keeping them into the innovative mindset that they came from. And the fourth one is agility and processes. And you know that traditional organization, we have processes, we're not the most agile. So the idea is how can you change everything around in order to make, you know, everything rolling within the organization. Yeah. But there is a way definitely to make these things happen.
Yeah, and you mentioned kind of agility and process and moving fast. And to me, Ari, that's some of the values that Facebook really has and some of the ways in which Facebook operates every day. I feel like Facebook's got quite a unique culture. What do you think are some of the major differences in the way the culture is at Facebook versus the clients that we work with, and what can we learn from each other?
Yes, great. Okay, let's start. So let's go back to the three points I mentioned. So first on bringing the employees closer together. Have any of you been to a Facebook office? Okay, all right, wow.
Amazing,
okay.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. I'm super happy. Now, I know what strikes you first when you walk into a Facebook office. To me, there are two things. One, the colorfulness of it. And two, the openness of it. And, you know, like it's open to an impressive degree in that no one has rooms. I mean, from Mark to Cheryl to us, you know, here, like no one has rooms in the company. Everyone has, you know, a seat and we have to eat together. And then if you also, anyone has been to the San Francisco to MPK office, Menlo Park? There's one. Mm. All right, so there are interesting things with the office design. Like there's a corridor that you have to walk, a corridor like 2 kilometers long, like, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, maybe like a kilometer long, that you have to walk between meetings. So you have to bump into people. Like, you know, it's unavoidable. And, or there are stairs in the offices that you have to go between meetings that you have to meet people. Like it's unavoidable. Like you almost crash into people that you have to do business with. And the second part of bringing people together is a concept that we call bringing your whole self to work. And it's difficult. It's not easy. And I'll give you two examples. One, when I do my regional meetings with my management team, you know, the first thing that we do, and it's something that I learned from Facebook, is check-ins, what we call check-ins. We just ask people, how are you doing? Personally, also business-wise, you have to see the emotion in the room after the first 10 minutes. We always plan half an hour for, like, you know, for check-ins of 10, 15 people. And we always do it like in 2 hours. And at the end of it, people like hug each other. And it's like a really emotional environment, especially for those of us. I mean, I'm not an emotional person. I guess, you know, you can see that after like 10 minutes of talking to me. It is quite uncomfortable, right? Talking about ourselves and, you know, talking about the kids and, you know, how life is going. And that's, you know, that's bringing whole self to work. And also being yourself. I mean, I am, for example, you know, for me, I am not a suit guy. I just don't like it. Well, I had my first year in my career in an investment banking environment, And I wore suit every day and I didn't like it. I decided that it's not me and I can be completely myself. Like, you know, there are many days that I come with, you know, torn jeans and t-shirts to the office. I dressed up for you guys today. and it's perfectly okay. And then the third element of bringing people together internally is no hierarchy. Like, and I mean, like, many companies talk about that, but the Facebook way is vicious. And I mean, like, many of you, I'll give you, you know, I'll try to visualize it. Many of you would be CMOs in the, you know, in your organizations. Imagine your summer intern coming to you and challenging every single decision that you made. Every single one. It's possible at Facebook. You put people next to each other, it's impossible to tell who's the more senior guy. Like, it's literally impossible. Age will give a clue, but most of the time not, right? And those are, look, you know, they sound fun, but when you're in the office, you're like, sometimes I give me a break. but it helps, right? So that is the only way, you know, to come up with, like, innovative ideas, yeah? And it works. The second point on innovation, you know, what it means is to be bold. And being bold is also not easy. So if you think about it, for example, some of you are using stories today. You know, have any of you used stories? I mean, none of that, you know, there were no story feature in any of the Facebook products not so long ago. Like, I'll repeat, you know, one of our massively used features did not exist just a couple of months ago, okay? And that's being bold. But we saw that that was the trend, and then we adapted it. Also, on innovation, the way we look at it is we focus on impact, which means that effort does not count that much, which is also not easy. Okay? In my performance reviews for my team, okay, the first question that we ask is impact. And then, by definition, most of the explanations start with effort. It's not easy. When you know someone has worked really hard, it's not easy to say, you know what, effort doesn't count. It's the impact. And that's also a big part in innovation, because you might be in the office, I mean, you can't plan innovation, you can't throw resources at it, you can't throw hours at it, right? It's the impact that really matters. And then last on innovation, for us, it's a social value, right? So because it's related to the mission of the company. And you know, the examples are, we have, you know, the safety check-ins, if you were. So, you know, after, like, a big event happens, you can check in and tell your people, tell your friends that you're safe. Or now, you know, a more recent one, now you can donate your birthday for fundraisers. Right? Can you imagine, like, you know, it is one of the big investments that we made. Now, you know, it's easy to do that. And millions of dollars are being raised by simply people donating their birthdays. Yeah, and it's quite key for us, you know, the building the social value. And last, you know, the transparency one, and I spoke for a bit longer than I thought. A few examples I want to give there is we have a Q&A with Mark Zuckerberg every week. And like I mentioned on the hierarchy, the most junior person, the most senior person can ask Mark anything on a weekly basis.
Right?
And they do. They do. It's from why did you say this in the United States Congress to how does your dog happy, right? So like and anything in between, and that's internal transparency, and externally we're pushing so hard on transparency as well. Now you might have noticed now we have massive ads transparency, especially if you're a political organization, it is uncomfortable. You have to be uncomfortably transparent with your Facebook ads and so forth. And those are the differences that I see from Facebook. Now, the one thing that I think Facebook can learn from many other organizations, and we're pushing hard on that, is the stability. Because Facebook, by definition, optimizes for innovation, optimizes for new things, optimizes for fast, and the world is not that fast. I mean, at Facebook, we make a joke, like a quarter is like a year, you know, at Facebook time is like dog years. So like in a quarter, really, like you age at least like 1 year because so much happens overnight. I mean, there are days I wake up in the morning, I'm like, really, that happened yesterday night while I was asleep? And there are too many days of that. So the stability is one thing that we can learn from many other organizations.
And Sonia, you work with startups every day. And we've heard from Sana, and Sana, I know I'll come back to you in a minute to hear a little bit about some of your challenges. And we've heard from L'Oréal, which is one of the biggest companies in the world, and in terms of how they're driving transformation. We've heard from Ari, who's talked about Facebook, and, you know, we're not quite a startup anymore, but, you know, the culture's quite different. What are some of the core differences that you see in your daily work between large corporates and the startups you deal with? And what do you think are some of the brave steps that big organizations can take to learn more from the culture of startups?
As I was saying before, startups tend to be an environment where you've chosen to be there. If you've worked in a large environment where you're working for a multinational per se, and then you've decided to go, I'm going to work for a startup, because there tend to be founders who started off and bringing people in who are probably being paid less than they were in their last job, but, you know, they've given them some equity in the business and they're there for the long term. And so it's definitely a choice to be in that position, as opposed to, you know, working for a wage so you can pay the bills or whatnot, or doing what you think you should be doing after because you are in finance or you go into finance or something. So you find people that are doing things that they're not traditionally trained to do, and they're doing something that they're passionate about, but. That's what we see culturally difference between the two, is that they're in a place where they're happy and they love to come to work every day. And you see that by, you know, especially the open, most startups we see have an open office concept. And it's because they all mostly believe in collaborating together, free flow of ideas, free flow of emotions. There's no hierarchy in terms of the boss sits here or whatnot. We as a startup, we don't even have titles. We have, you know, we're all kind of founding partners. No one is a C anything, right? Yeah. Because we all kind of know our roles, and we use our skills to dictate those roles that we do. But we're more a collaborative environment, and we find that is a much more productive way to work than a corporate there where it's a hierarchy and you have to respect your boss and you do what your boss says, and it doesn't matter what your opinion is in the matter, because, you know, your boss is not always right, but in large corporations sometimes you have to just do what he says because he's the one that's assessing you at the end of the or he or she is the one that's assessing you at the end of the year, or, you know, determining what your bonus is or whatever your KPI is. Startups are very different. A lot of people have equity. They're building a business. They have one mission in mind, and it's much more a collaborative environment and a much more lovely place to kind of see. And so we put money and invest in the guys that we think are, you know, amazing and have that great culture.
Amazing. And we've got many CMOs sitting in the audience here are thinking, well, that's all well and good. That's going to be really hard to do in my organisation because we have got tradition, we've got hierarchy. And Sana, I think one of the things that you've done is you've been very successful in getting buy-in from both your CEO and the other C-suite. How did you go about getting that buy-in from the organisation and practically be able to implement some of that change?
I think I was lucky enough because the group globally have made the digital transformation at the top of the agenda. So the first thing is the appointment of a chief digital officer in Paris, reporting directly to the group CEO. So this came top down, very clear mission, very clear vision in terms of digital transformation. So it came top down. This has been cascaded to every country manager, who is my boss today, for instance, in the Middle East. So they were mentored, they were upskilled in terms of digital transformation. So we had the alignment first in terms of country manager. The second level was how can we have the C-suite as well embarking in this digital transformation journey. So what we've done is what we call reverse mentoring. So I had a full program, me and my team and different partners, Facebook and Google, that I would like to thank for all the partnership and all the support, because we could not have done this digital transformation journey without. So basically meeting with every head of business, having with them classes, courses in terms of digital transformation, and as well meeting with the partner, having hands-on exercises and making sure that they are at the level and understanding what digital transformation means. This was the first one. The second part that we've done is across all the different organizations, we had what we called upskilling, and we had always ongoing upskilling for the organization. The other thing that we've done was how can we make sure to win is by having small wins and then scaling them. So we had to have the buy-in of some of the C-suite. So we take one division, one brand, we crack something with it, we make it a win, and eventually we scale it with the other parts of the organization.
Right. And so I guess the key message for the audience here is that that change really does need to come from top down and really drive that change in culture, the change in learnings through the organization.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I have to add one thing, which is important, is that the group, when they thought about this, they understood that unless it doesn't come from top down, it's not going to happen. And that's why in every single country, wherever we have a CMO, the CMO sits at the board of the organization. So at the same decision table of all the C-suites, so that at least we make sure that we share the share of voice, we push it and we make it higher when it comes to digital transformation.
Right.
Because that's really important.
Yeah. And it's great, you know, organizations with like a really strong culture can be really successful. But organizations can face some challenges, and that sometimes can raise challenges in terms of maintaining that internal culture. So a question for you, Ari, is Facebook's had some, you know, very public challenges over the past 12 months. How do you think that's affected the internal culture? And what steps do you take to make sure that your teams are still fully aligned behind the mission and the vision of the company?
Yes. Okay, I'll tell the changes that I'm observing. One, the transparency. I mentioned this a little bit. Let me give you a few more examples. Now, Facebook is significantly, I think, step change is more transparent than it was even like a year ago. And examples are, so for example, right now, advertisers and large pages, they need to be authorized and they need to state where they're from in order to continue their activities on Facebook. Right? And we launched an archive in the US that is displaying 7 years worth of advertising that, you know, any company has done, and that is accessible. Now, if you think about advertising, you know, that has never been done before. This is a level of transparency that has never happened before. And also we have launched like labels for political advertising, and we announced this publicly. And we're continuing to publish our global government transparency report every 6 months. So transparency is increasing in my view. The second change that I have seen is Facebook has invested significantly to safety and security. That was something that was always at play, but was not as big as it is now. And just to help you visualize it a little bit, we had about 10,000 people working on this. Now we have more than 20,000 people working on it right now, like as in this is human beings working at content. And with that, a little parallel to that, we're investing much more to machine learning. And I'll give you one example. We realize that many of the challenging activities that is going on Facebook is starting from fake accounts. So there has been a big focus in the company in identifying what these fake accounts are. And the numbers are staggering. Between October last year and March this year, we disabled, with the help of the AI that we developed, 1.3 billion fake accounts. 1.3 billion. Right? Now, not all of them were active. Most of them were dormant. But this is what, you know, improvements in the artificial intelligence did. Can you imagine doing that by hand? It's not possible. That's why we did so much product innovation there. And also, we are now prioritizing news that are coming from more trusted sources in the feed that you see. So we have changed the algorithm so that you see news that the community thinks are from trusted sources. So I can see that the company is adapting, and the company is, you know, overall changing even the product focus with the most recent challenges. Now, the challenge that I see and what I'm talking on a daily basis with my teams is to be able to be on the offense on like social good and to prove that Facebook helps. Facebook helps SMBs, Facebook helps social the local economies, and Facebook helps the community at large. How do we prove that? And in an environment where There's so much, you know, negativity going on in the world. How do we be the voice of hope? How do we be the light? Because the technology allows you to do that. When you have, you know, billions of people, then with unprecedented technology, we can be that. But how do you do that, right? So, like, that's what I'm trying to tell all my teams and trying to do every day.
Thank you, Ari, for being so open, because I know that's certainly in line with the company values. We are actually out of time now. I know we'd want to hear from these guys much more, and there will be time in the break. But finally, just very quickly from each of you, just one quick piece of advice that you'd give to your boss and your team as they embark on a journey of cultural transformation. And Sonia, let's start with you.
I guess for my team, and we give this same advice to entrepreneurs when we're assessing them for an investment, is that your personal brand is so important, especially when you're out there and you're portraying the culture and the environment of the company you're in, like we're doing today. And you probably have in your life, let's say, 10 interactions absolutely change your life. So every time you meet someone, every time you talk to someone, every interaction you have, make it positive, make it great, make it useful, and try to give as much as you're gaining from that interaction.
Amazing. Ari?
Yeah. Khaled, in his opening, he said being brave means different things to different people. And so to my boss, what I would say is, let's pick what we want to be brave on. Right? It's crazy to be brave on everything. Okay, so we have to pick the areas that we want to be brave on, and that will mean different things to everyone in this room. That will mean different things to Facebook. That will mean different things to many of you. And then to my team, Gandhi has this amazing quote that I think fits well today, which is, "We think hate is the enemy's hate, but the enemy's fear." Right, and that applies so much to our day to days, and Omar said that, you know, some people freeze when there's a fear, some people jump into action. I guess what I would ask my team is to be open for change, right? So because, you know, if you're fearful of change, then nothing will happen, and then we're not going to achieve the amazing potential that we have that is in front of us today. So that would be the thing that I would mention to my teams.
And Sana, one closing thought from you?
For me, two pieces of advice. The first one is fewer, bigger, and focus, and consistency. So fewer, bigger, focus, consistency is my first one, because digital can take you everywhere. So unless you have quick wins and then you scale them, you can get really lost super fast. The second one is be brave to fail, be brave to test and learn from your failures.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I think we really are out of time. So thank you very much, everybody. The panelists will be around if you...